All right, praise God. I'm glad everybody's here. And those who are online, those who are physically, praise God that we have another opportunity to praise his name, to grow in him. The topic we are on is relationship with Christ. Very important. Before we pray, just to kind of set it up, hopefully everybody understand all relationships have to be based on something. And of course, ours needs to be based on truth. And truth is Christ. And unfortunately, we tend to have what's called implied or interpreted relationships, and which I think my relationship should be and what you think your relationship should be. And that's what actually messes up our relationships. We'll talk about that a little bit as we go into the review and then start on part two of relationship with Christ. But let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, we thank you once again for this opportunity to come in your name, dear Lord, and just to hear your word. We ask you to help us to receive it, to gain the understanding of what we're supposed to do and apply it. Let us realize our purpose here is to minister to others, to build one another up, dear Lord, and to glorify you. We want to walk in such a way, dear God, that we're doing exactly that. Help us, dear God, not to be distracted by the things going on around us, but to do everything in the glory of you, dear Lord. As we start, we ask you to allow me to be an instrument used by you, presenting your word the way that's honorable and reverent, but clear and understandable. We hand this over to you for your teaching and for your guidance, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say, amen. Using that implied, interpreted relationship, it kind of reminds me of when my daughter was younger, and I think in her interpreted relationship, she taught that as long as she met somebody and she liked them, then I would like them. And it didn't work out that way, of course. In the true relationship, I have to protect her. I have to be for real with her. I have to monitor. I was never mean to the friends, but I had to be very careful. And of course, that could cause a rift. In the exact same way, that's how most of our relationship is with God. We interpret God to go with what we desire and not with what he says. He's here for our good. We usually go what we desire, and our desires most time isn't for our good. So it's praise God when we can lean upon him and trust in him for our good and realize he's protecting us even from our desires. So as we continue to go through, let us understand this importance. So let's see what we've learned so far when it comes to following this relationship. As we can see, relationship with Christ is grace-created relationship instead of rules. It's a grace-created relationship. In the Old Testament, once again, that was a foundation of, if you do this, then you'll be righteous. But of course, we fail. So now he's saying, okay, now, just be in a relationship with me and I'll take care of the rest. Just trust me and I'll take care of the rest. Let's see a review of what we did so far. Christ invites the weary and the burdened for us to be renewed. When he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Now, the key to this is all of us are weary and burdened. We just have to recognize we're weary and burdened. See, if you don't realize that and you say you're taking the invitation, then you're going to struggle in that relationship. When you recognize I need him, I can't do this, is when you come to him, because he says, take my yoke upon and learn from me. And that's the process. It's a life of learning and growing in Christ, but I got to realize that I need him, that I am weary and that I'm burdened. So I lay my burdens down and I no longer live in my weariness. But we don't realize that all the time because we allow our flesh to lead us in lies. Also, Christ must be our lives, not just a part. Too many times we apply Christ as a simple part and not our lives, if we're being honest. Think about it. We do it with church. We do it with relationships. We do it with certain things in which we miss that understanding of, no, he has to be a part or an answer to every aspect of everything we do. I think how we get ourselves and how Satan gets us is we'll add him to a portion here or there. Amen. We kind of add him here or there, not realizing, no, I have to check with him on everything in my relationships, in my jobs, in my walk, in what I eat, in what I do, all the above. Everybody understand that? So we must do it with the understanding that he is our lives. Christ is not just a part, he is. And we must live rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up. What does that mean? Because when something's rooted, it gains its nourishment from. You know, a tree, I don't care what it does outside, if its roots are not gaining nourishment, that tree is going to die. So I have to first be rooted in him. He must be my nourishment. So why do you go to church? To receive nourishment in order for you to be built up in him. I think today we work on being built up in ourselves, right? I want to do more tasks. I want to have a bigger resume. I want to have things that I can look back and look at what I did and see how wonderful I am, while not realizing that takes us away from where we're supposed to be, built up in him. Amen. Everything I should boast in should be in Christ and Christ only. So in that relationship, it's just me allowing me to allow him to live through me, to display him to the world. All of our relationships must be based on Christ. Your marriage relationship, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your children, your work relationships. Too many times we do that on our own. That's why so many people have different looking marriages, have different looking raising of their kids, different ways they treat their bosses. And God's not going, well, you know, everybody's different. He's saying, I lay the foundation for those. And the minute we ignore him, we sin. I don't care if it even looks like it's working. I don't care if it looks like, man, it's falling into place. Is it based on him? If it's not, you're setting yourself up for danger. Every relationship, the Bible gives us the foundation for all of those. And we need to really look at that, because that's part of my relationship with him is going to describe my relationship with others, even enemies. He tells me to love my enemies, right? So that's a foundational relationship that I have to show my relationship in him. Very important that we have that. We also seen that our relationship with Christ is foolishness to the world. Too many times, I think we keep trying to make the world understand our relationship with Christ. And even God let us know it's going to be foolishness to them. They're going to go, what are you doing? And I know when we try to blend it or force them to understand it, nowhere does it in the word does he tell us to do this. We've done that on our own, in which we've taken it upon ourselves, thinking, well, don't I have to force this? Don't I have to make the world know about my relationship? No, that's between me and God, between you and God, between the body and God, all right? And how I react is based on that relationship. I don't force the world to understand it because they can't understand it. And in fact, it causes more problems when we try to force them in that understanding. And also our relationship requires Jesus being our Lord and us living in belief. What does that mean? You know how that verse we use when we tell a person you want to get saved, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Understanding in that, what it's saying, if you read a little further, is when you confess he's Lord, you're going to live the same way he did, doing exactly what our Lord tells us. Now, so many people say that, but we're not reading our Bibles. How do I know what he's telling me? And when I do read it, I kind of dance around. Yeah, I know, but you know, he knows what I'm going through, so I chose not. Well, I was going through something, and right? We make up excuses to ignore or disobey him instead of, he's my Lord. You know, what am I doing? I want to do exactly what he's telling me. You would hold all of us ministers accountable to make sure we're giving you the word to understand what you are supposed to do. That's the first part. And then you live in belief. Remember, James 2 helps to explain belief even more. It's our faith in action. A lot of us say we believe in Christ, but our lives show otherwise. If I truly believe in him, you'll see my actions be responding to what he says, not to how I see it, not to how I feel. I may wake up feeling a certain way, but my reaction is still going to be based on him. That's belief. Belief is your faith in action. And we all must live in belief. So that's a big part of our relationship. And also, please know, we are doomed if we don't have a relationship with Christ. Only Christians have a relationship with Christ, and you're only a Christian if you have a relationship with Christ. Please don't let anybody tell you otherwise. I heard a minister one time saying, well, only those who are close to him will have. The rest of them, they're okay. As long as they accepted him, they're in good shape. No, it's not what the Bible says. There's a verse that made clear, all those who don't know God, he was like, they're going to be going to hell. Can you make it any clearer? Relationship has to be this thing that we have based on him, and we must have it. Gotta have it. And we also finally seen last week, we all must realize we are totally helpless without Christ. One thing Satan does, and he's done it successfully, is made us think we can do it. Reminds me of a toddler or whatever, when you try to help them and they go, no, I can do it. Or you even get somebody when we get older, no, I can do it. And why? Because I got this. I feel like I got this. And Satan wants to build us up so much in ourselves, we pull away from God. And we only reach to God to help us to continue to depend on self. And then we do foolish things, and then we look at God. God, I'm getting ready to do this foolish thing. Please bless me in this foolish thing I'm about to do. Right there, you've already excluded God. Remember that? You know, that's why we said when we started this whole entire thing, we looked at wisdom. Because wisdom is me checking with God, doing things fully based on God, my feelings, my emotions, my desires, what I want, never got in the way. It's me totally depending on him because I am helpless without him. So, things we must know to make sure we have a relationship with Christ. These are things you now have to have set in your mind. And hopefully as you see these, I'll explain how we have not been doing these and where we should be with this. So the things we must know to make sure we have a relationship with Christ starts off with the body. The body must be motivated in our purpose and united in love. When I was younger, the one church I belonged to, and I was in my first year in college, and I loved it. Why did I love it? Because a group of people were my age. They were going through the same thing. We hung out. We did everything together, right? Great time, I thought. But if you were to ask me about any spiritual feeding during that time, it was non-existent. What I enjoyed was our camaraderie. What I enjoyed was us hanging out. And we could call ourselves church going. We all sang on the choir together. We all did stuff together. I became director at one point of that. And I just thought it was a great thing, but what did it have to do with God? Was it really a godly relationship? And that same thing today, a lot of times we get caught up in our worldly relationships, call it blessed, and we miss out on what our relationship should be. Look what he says here in Colossians 2:2-4. It says, my purpose is that you may be encouraged in heart. Remember, your heart is your purpose. So I got to continue in that path of God. So I want to be encouraged in that because I think you all would agree with me. Things happen in life sometimes where we want to go, come on, God, right? So that encouragement should come from one another. I don't want somebody to just tell me it's okay. I want somebody to tell me based on the word for me to keep moving. And it says, and united in love. Some of us are united, just like I said, with those friends based on what we had in common, based on what we were going through. In fact, as we got older, we fell apart because those things disappeared. Love lasts forever. True agape love. So what should unite us is love. When I allow anything else to unite me, that same thing is what's going to break me up. Think about that. You know what I mean? When I have godly love, it's fully based on God. He's eternal. When it's because of this moment we're going through, when it's because of the things we have in common, when it's all of those things, I miss out on this unity that the body is supposed to have. And it's supposed to be that way based on God's love, 1 Corinthians 13. And he says he wants those two things, look at this, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Why do so many Christians not understand today? It's because our relationships, and especially in the body, is not based on this love and this encouragement. It's based on feelings. I enjoy you. I like you. Why do church still have cliques? Why do we still, treat people the way we do? Because it's usually still based on us, not based on Christ. If somebody would have molded the kids to have a spiritual relationship, which should happen, and there's ways of doing it, it would have then started to build what we all should have. And this is something we all have to look at. What is a spiritual relationship? He says to have the full riches of complete understanding. We have access to understand our walk, complete understanding. I am no scholar, all right? However, I'm accessing what he has for all of you to access as well. That's the only difference, all right? It's not because I had this a whole vast amount of schooling and everything. No, everybody has the same access. We just have to access it. And a part of it is our relationship with the body. He was like, so they can have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And if you notice, I put in bold, may know, because that's that relationship. In order that they may have that relationship with this mystery. And the reason why they called him a mystery is the Old Testament didn't know what it was going to be. They knew a Messiah was coming. They didn't fully grasp the whole understanding of what Christ was going to do, but we have that access. And we get to have a relationship to empower us in order to strengthen us to live a life in this corrupt world. It says, in talking about Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The reason why we're still confused is we're still trying to figure out things on our own. What does it say in Proverbs 3:5-8, and especially verse 5? You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. The reason why we're so confused is we don't really trust God. We might say we do, but our actions show otherwise. And we want him to give us towards our understanding. Let's be honest for a minute, right? We're usually confused because it's like, God, until you make me understand based on my understanding, we have a problem. Right there, you just stop and screech your relationship. There is a problem there because you want it based on your understanding instead of gaining understanding. He is that understanding. He is that wisdom. He is that knowledge. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if I have this relationship with him and I'm just open with him, getting rid of my understanding, I gain understanding. But if I keep trying to do it based on my understanding, I'll stay confused. I won't grow. I'll be tossed back and forth. And that's exactly what happens with many of them. It says in verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you, watch this, by fine sounding arguments. I love that term because fine sounding is still hitting one of the what? Senses. We walk by faith, not by sight. Usually somebody will get us, they'll say some sermon or some statement, they'll make me go, oh, I like that, right? My itching ears heard something that I enjoyed hearing. And they'll say it about God, and we just accept it. Why? Because we like it. Or it fit our understanding and not the understanding. Very common, okay? That's why some things, they don't make sense because we're not walking by sense, right? But if you're not careful, you're going out there listening for fine sounding things, things that sound, yep, that sounds good. Okay, I'll accept that message. You know how many times I hear people say, man, that was a great message. And then I'll listen to the message. And I'm like, they heard something they liked, but it wasn't based on the word. And it's disturbing at times because we receive the things we like to hear, not what he said. Very big difference. Very, very big difference. You know, when I was younger and I wanted to stay out later, if my friend told me, hey, your parents, they don't mind. They want you to have fun. I liked that answer. I didn't question anybody until I went home late. And then I had to hear it. I didn't tell you that you could do that. Y'all understand that? See, but it was fine sounding at the time. Yeah, they want me to have a good time. It's summertime, right? Instead of us recognizing, no, that's not the answer. That was something that I liked hearing. So this is what we should have in our relationship. This is what we should build with our children and their relationships, especially with the body. It should be a relationship based on and in and knowing Christ, not just us enjoying one another. Nothing wrong with us enjoying one another, but if you notice, we made that the foundation. In fact, we'll get together with people, have fun, laugh, and call it fellowship. But nothing about Christ was there. And I'm not saying every get-together should be a Bible study. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we do it in an encouraging and in a loving way, and it'll be a Bible study without a Bible study. You'll be able to talk about any and everything staying within that bubble of Christ. And you'll grow together in Christ. You'll encourage in Christ. This is how it should be. And I know a lot of people are like, well, what does that look like? And you're absolutely right, because we've gotten away from that. So it's something hopefully we can start working on as time goes on. And then we have to know the difference between true and false knowledge. Now, remember it said in verse 3 of the verse we just read, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. As we grow in our relationship with Christ, we start knowing what we need to know. Now, you have some brilliant men out there that'll walk into a room, they have 18 million books, and they'll tell you that they read every book in the library and they studied this person, and they'll name drop and they'll give you all this stuff and they'll have things behind their name. And then you are so intimidated by them, you think, I'll never know all of this. And half their knowledge is foolishness, downright meaningless. But you're so caught up in there, wow, did you hear all that they said and all that they knew? See, understand, as it says in 1 Timothy 6, 20 through 21, he says, Timothy, watch this, what he gives him, of course, being inspired by God, guard what has been entrusted to your care, watch this, turn away from godless chatter and the opposing idea of what is falsely called knowledge. Two things he's showing. Godless chatter is when somebody gives me any type of advice, any type of experience, any type of whatever they may call knowledge, that's not based on God. If I can't find it being based on the Bible, I go, thank you, move on. And you have a lot of people that have that. Let me give you some advice for your relationship. I listen, the minute I don't hear any foundation of God, get rid of it. And a lot of us hold on to it because a lot of it sounds good. This is why we prefer worldly counselors over Christian counselors. If a Christian counselor is a true Christian counselor, I'll be very clear with you. You're not going to desire to be with them because they're going to seem kind of narrow because they're catering to just the truth, just your spirit. And when your spirit is nourished, it covers everything else. Now, when you go to a worldly counselor, they're trying to hit every avenue of everything that you like. Do what you like. What makes you happy? Remember, you're different from everyone, right? And they give you these things not based on God, so it becomes godless. Did y'all catch that? Godless. Now, don't mistake godless chatter when you talk about worldly things. The difference is when we as Christians talk about worldly things, we do it in a godly way. We understand the world through what God says. That doesn't mean not to talk about the world. You just know to talk about the world in a godly way. That's why you get those who, I don't watch television. I don't go do this. I don't go do that. I think they think Christians mean we should go in a cave and not be touched by the world. That's not what the word tells us. In fact, in Jesus' prayer in John 17, he even said, I'm not telling you to take them out the world. I just want you to protect them from the evil. So we understand the world through God. Because it's godly chatter, it's godly understanding. And then he says, opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. One of the biggest groups of Gentiles that the Christians encountered were the Greeks. And even today, most of our philosophies and most of our sciences and most of the things we have come from the Greeks because we call them brilliant. We call that knowledge. And the more of them that you go through, that are not based on God, Christians know, nonsense. Y'all get it? You look at it and go, I've been studying this. You know, people still lean upon Freud. And it was a lot of nonsense. Do y'all get this? Now he said some stuff once again that made sense. But by faith, you would go, man, if I follow this, it may look like it's working, but I'm only destroying myself. There are many people who wrote books on marriages and how to raise your children. At the time, it'll seem right. There was a time where we over-medicated our children. We still do it now today, I think, but there was a time where put them on this medic. We were giving Prozac like crazy. Why? Because at the time, it seemed. They would go sit on the couch and they were a zombie and they were just like, oh, this works, right? And then they got older and we're like, okay, what did I do? What happened? And then they struggle as an adult because of something we got off of an expert. Instead of looking, what does the Bible say? Nowhere does it say give them something. And I'm not going away from medication. I'm saying don't depend on medication. There is a raising that we're supposed to do based on the Bible using discipline. That's what we're supposed to do. But of course, we start leaning on the world because we're leaning on the thing that's called knowledge. Verse 21 says, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered from the faith. And he says, grace be with you. When people get too smart, right? They start leaving God. Think about it. Look at your own life. How many things do you know that the Bible says here, but you're doing this over here because you think you got it figured out? Seriously. You know what God says here. You'll even say if somebody says, well, you know the Bible, you go, I know, but. Right? And we throw that out there of, come on, I got this. And God's like, I am the way. Why are you going another way? Explain that. Help me. Well, God, it works. Once again, a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. And sometimes that ending part is so disastrous. And he'll go, but I thought, why do I have to think when I can just do what he says? Y'all get this? So it makes sure we have this true knowledge that he gives to us. So I spend my time accessing his knowledge and not looking for my knowledge, which will put me in danger. Think about it. That's how Satan started in the beginning when he went after Eve. He tried to give her knowledge. Did God really say that? He doesn't want you to think like him and be like him. And it made her think. So then she saw and said, hey, this fruit is good for eating. Was it based on God? No, then it became godless chatter. Did y'all catch that? All right, that's how the process works. Knowing Christ requires us to let go of anything that represents us not knowing him. Okay, so understand this. You have to look at your life and anything that's pulling you away. Now, know the difference between this. And this is what I'm saying, because what some people think is, well, then I watch less this and I do less this. It's not what he's saying. Anything that I allow to dictate or to title me in my life, I have to eliminate or restructure that relationship. Let's read what this is, and I'll show you what that means. Galatians 4, 8 through 11 says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods, okay? But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Are you observing special days and months and seasons and years? I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my effort on you. Now, what he's saying to them is, so I'm teaching you the word. You get the word. You say amen, but you're still following traditions. You're still following things that people showed you that seem to work. You still are following other books and ways in life that have nothing to do with God. Why? Because they worked for me. Even in your business practices, you knew when you cheated people out, it worked for you. When you did undermining things, it made you move up. And even though you know it's wrong, it's worked for you. So you continue to do these things you have no business doing. You still continue in your relationships the way that are against what the word says. We have this access that lets me know how I'm supposed to be in all my relationships as we're talking here. And you'll still see people go and meet other people the way they used to. Why are you still doing things the way you used to when you have acknowledged, you have now knowledge on doing things the way you're supposed to? Amen? And that's what he's showing us. Now, if you stop and look at your life, how many things have you always done this way? And why are you still doing it this way when there is the way? And that's what we have to look at. So we have to eliminate or readjust. You know, somebody asked me in one of our Bible studies about anybody I mentor with, and I've been looking and I will continue to look, but I'm not going to be hasty because there are a lot of people that come with their own knowledge. I never want to be a mentor who is your mentor. I just want to be a pass-through. I want to present God to you. Your mentor should be only that. I don't want them saying Keith and Keith's teachings and Keith's wisdom, all that stuff is meaningless. It better be when Keith presents God to me. And when I see God from what Keith is showing me in God's word, that's what I want in a mentor. That's what you need in a mentor. But a lot of us will follow people because we're comfortable in them. We're comfortable in certain sayings, certain traditions, certain experiences, certain habits, and we still do them. Why? Well, I've always done it. Why? Why are you still doing it after he just preached the way? Look at that. Cleanse that stuff out of your life because it's corrupting you. Just do what he says. And also, knowing the difference between the real Christ and the false Christ can only be revealed by Christ. You won't know the difference between false Christ. Right now, you have the Jehovah's Witnesses, you have the Mormons, you have a lot of other smaller cults out there. And sometimes even in mainstream, we got people preaching a wrong Christ, a mistaken Christ. They'll call him either a conservative Christ or a liberal Christ. And neither of those are Christ. And you may go, okay, Pastor, how do I know? Through Christ. The word gives us how we can recognize Christ. 1 John 5, 19 through 20 says, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Did y'all catch that first, that right there? This is a big reason why we cannot be partners with the world. And you still see Christians calling people in the world good, connecting with people of the world. You know what I mean? And he says, no, they're all under the control of devil. Plain and simple, it says this. And it says who? And we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So there is no middle ground. There is no purgatory group. Even when they mean well, they're under the wrong control. So either you're under the control of the Holy Spirit or you're under the control of the devil. Take your pick. It says in verse 20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Oh, then how come I'm still confused? Because I'm leaning upon my own understanding. Did y'all catch that? Okay. He has given us understanding. It's like he has given us peace. He's given us certain things that we've taken, and I don't know where we put it, but we keep leaning upon our simpleness, right? Our limitness instead of his eternity. He has given us understanding. Why are we leaning upon what he's given us instead of keep going back what we feel? Until I feel right about it, I'm not doing it, instead of going with that, right? So it lets us know he's given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. If I don't lean upon his understanding, I'm going to be confused. Somebody will preach another Christ, and I have no idea. And I'll go, amen. You go, no, that's wrong. Why do people follow these wrong Christs? Because they're leaning upon their own understanding. Why so many churches today, what they have leaned upon is feel-good ministries. I want to come out feeling inspired. I want to come out feeling comfortable. I want to come out feeling at peace, while your feelings are based on your flesh. Do y'all get this? Feelings aren't supposed to be where you want to be. Feeling is an understanding of where you are. And then you use faith as a reference of where you're supposed to be. And now you can see where you're at. As you came in today, you got your temperature taken. That's where you're at. If you were over 100, then you knew where you need to be. So you'll go home and you'll take an aspirin, you'll take whatever it needs to be, or you get that checked out. If it was too low, I don't know what you do for that, but it's either which way. You know, this is wrong. I'm supposed to be here. That's your feelings. Your feelings tell you where you're at in reference to where you're supposed to be. That's the difference. Stop using your feelings as a reference of where you're supposed to be. If I came in, I'm 103 and go, you know what? Today, everybody better be 103. It's called foolishness, and we'd all probably be passing out, if not worse. But that's what we tend to do. He says he has given us understanding. Once again, that reference point. So I know Keith, he said, you're supposed to be here. I don't care if you understand it or not. Now you're going to live to be here. Do you get this? He says, even in his son, Jesus Christ, and we are in him who is true. Even in his son, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. That's how come we can interchange God, Holy Spirit, Christ, same. All the same. Do y'all get it? They play different parts certain times, but it's all one God, okay? Once again, you try to understand that, it'll make your mind explode because it's not in our understanding. It's an acceptance. That's his understanding. This is what he said. Got it. When I go, until I get it based on me, you're just going to sit there struggling, not realizing you can't figure out certain things. You can't figure out how to work on a VCR, and you don't figure out that we don't use VCRs anymore. You understand? And you're still trying to figure it out, right? And then you're now saying, God, until you tell me and help me understand. He's like, excuse me? Seriously? Just accept him as the understanding, and then we grow in him. Now, here's the evidence. This is for you to check you. This should be a daily thing. So if you really say you have a relationship with Christ, these things will exist, okay? These things will exist, and they'll exist in him, not in and based on us. First of all, obeying Christ's commands, we don't obey him in order to know him, okay? Obeying him is evidence that we know him. Let me read that again. Obeying Christ's commands, that's going to exist, but it's not that I'm obeying him in order to know him, no. If I know him, I'll obey him. So those who are living not obeying him don't know him. Look what the word says, 1 John 2:3-6. We know that we have come to know him if, everybody say if. So this is the evidence for me. So if I say, man, do I really know Christ? Well, here's your answer. I do if we obey his commands. Oh, right there. Now, obeying his commands, first means I have to know his commands. in order to do his commands. You have some people that still think that means the Ten Commandments, right? Does it? Think about that. And that's where they're confused, okay? New Testament shows us spirituality in commands in Christ. Do you understand that? You would get that understanding. But a lot of us don't know because we're not in the Word. Once again, Christ is not our lives. We kind of do some basic things and we'll say some things that we're doing, but true following his commands, you'll see everybody doing things based on what does the Word say on this topic before I do it, so I can do it. It goes on to say, the man who says, watch this, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a lie. Now, if you notice, I didn't say that. The Word is letting you know that. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of people that go, I have a relationship with Christ. I'm not seeing you do anything the Bible says, liar. Did y'all catch that? And you want to know that. I want to know if I'm lying to myself. And he told me, he's like, Keith, so then how you dealt with that at work? How'd you deal with it? Well, based on your word said. How'd you do this in your family with your kids and that situation? Well, your word says, so I'm following it this way. Oh, you really know him. When you went, well, I tried to figure out and then I thought and I felt, liar. Man, that shakes you up, doesn't it? Hopefully it shakes you up to let you know, wait a minute, let me stop. Because I keep getting in the way. I don't have a relationship, but you have an opportunity to get one. He says, and the truth is not in him. He goes on to say, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must, everybody say must, walk as Jesus did. Must walk as Jesus. How did Jesus walk? He says, I do exactly what my Father tells me. Now, are we all doing that? I've heard some ministers go, you know, that's impossible. So God doesn't expect that from you. I clearly heard him say that. I'm like, how is he now saying this to his congregation? And you could just feel a sigh of relief where people go, ooh, at least I'm doing my best. What does that mean? I'm trying. What does that mean? When I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, why are you trying instead of just doing? Cut it out with these simple signs and lines that we use. Just do what he says. Yeah, you may fall. Get up and continue to follow what he says. Let us stop shortchanging ourselves. That's the first thing. You'll see you living in obedience. New Testament, Bible showed it. Secondly, you'll display real love. You will display real love. 1 John 4:16-21, it says, God is love. This is one of the reasons people, before they become Christians, that feeling or that relationship they had with their family really wasn't love because they never had love. Because you can't have love if you don't have God. Think about that. Usually that feeling you have for somebody else, like stergo, which we call that's that type of human or conditional a familiarity love, or eros, that's that feeling you get when you meet somebody and you get that emotional feeling of attachment. All these are different types of love. No, he's talking about the true agape love. Nobody has it until you have God. So he starts off this statement with God is love. So he says, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. So that's gonna be the first thing. Now, lives in love doesn't just mean you say, I love you. You live loving you. Every action I do will display my love for you. I know a ton of people who say I love you and never show it. Once again, liar. He's going to show that. It says, in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Oh, I need confidence on day of judgment? Oh, yeah. Not the confidence that people told you to have. You got to believe you're going to heaven, everything's good. Okay. No. Yeah, I lived in love. That's where my confidence is. I can look at the evidence that I lived in true love, not this emotional nonsense that we have that we call love. It'll be fully based on 1 Corinthians 13 and what we see in 1 John. It says, we have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world, we are like him. Big difference. The world acts a certain way in this world. We are different. We are the light. 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. When you're still living in worry and stress and all that other stuff, you're not living in love. Now, what I'm not saying is you're not going to have the feeling of worry. You're not going to have the feeling of stress. Just like you're not going to have the feeling of love. We're not talking about feelings. What are you reacting to? your fleshly feeling of stress and worry and fear? Or are you reacting on the spirituality of God and his love? That's going to be the difference maker. I'll feel a certain way, but I'll live a certain way. And that way better be in God. It says, the one who fear is not made perfect in love. When I live in fear, when that means you'll see me doing things not in line with God. I don't care how much you study your Bible. I don't care how deep you are in the word. I'll do things. My actions, that thing I just did, somebody should be able to go, so what was that based on? And the minute you give a, well, I thought, I felt, and not a he said, that should answer it for you. You're not living in love. Do y'all get this? And he makes us know that. He says, if anyone says, watch this, I love God, yet hates his brother, here's his word, he is a liar. Now understand, just like love, hate is an action also. You know what I mean? I can't tell somebody I forgave them, and then I'm treating them cold and distant and mean. I'm still hating. If you want to know what hate is, read 1 Corinthians 13 and add the not in front of it. Whatever, if you're opposite of that, that's hate. If you're not patient, you're hating. If you're not kind, you're hating. You got where I'm going with this? All right? If you're not following the concept of what true love is, you hate. I don't care what you say. You can say you love me, but your actions show otherwise, and you are a liar. It says, for anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You get some very religious people, and I've seen it on stage and stuff like that, especially in the political scene, that treat people like garbage. And then they say, but I'm a Christian. There are some hate groups that say they're Christians. Does that make sense? Why aren't we as Christians going, seriously? Right? And we're not. He told them, you can't be a Christian. Not only seriously from what they're saying, but seriously for the lie that they're telling themselves. It says, whom he has not seen and has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, please understand, agape love is not unconditional love, not unconditional love. It's God conditional love. Well, Pastor, what's the difference? Unconditional love means I love everything no matter what, right? That sounds right, right? But isn't there a verse in the Bible that says, where God says, do not love the world or anything in the world? Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That means my love is fully conditioned on God. Why? Because God is love. Y'all catch that? Now, if we follow God, we would see that. If we don't follow God, we make up that wholesome sounding, fine sounding argument. I have an unconditional love. Doesn't that sound great? Sounds great. But God tells me what is great. So we display love. Next, not continuing to live in sin. Now, what this does not mean is you won't sin. It means sin is not something that describes your life anymore. 1 John 3:5-6 says, but you know that he appears so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Okay, so now we become in him. Watch this. No one who lives in him keeps on. The Greek word for that keeps on means continue to live in, keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. So if I'm doing things that the Bible clearly says is sinful as a lifestyle, sleeping around, thieving, hating, drunkard, all any of these things, and I'm consistently doing it with no intention on stopping, I don't know. Please understand that. Okay, a Christian, this will be eliminated. Now, I'm not saying it won't be a struggle. But understand, the struggle would be you making sure you're fighting the flesh, not you accepting it. When a person accepts it and still calls himself a Christian, they're lying to themselves. Y'all get this? A big part of how we help one another is how we live. If you're still living in sin, if there's something, a defined activity or disobedient that you're doing, with no intention on stopping, and I don't mean, when I say intention, don't mean, well, I'm going to quit next year. No, I'm talking about you are purposely right now using the strength God has given you to get rid of that. If you're not doing that, there's question on your relationship. You're fooling yourself. And please stop saying, well, it's so hard and I can't do it. you're absolutely right. You can't do it. That's why I'm not supposed to do it. I have to trust in him to do it. That's why I need this relationship. Relationship is just me following what he says. And one thing he kept saying from the beginning, in order to follow me, you must deny yourself. What he's saying is you're going to go through some things. I'm going to tell you to do some things. You're not going to like those things. Those things are not going to feel good, but they're the right things. Anybody who had ever had a physical trainer, they guide them into exercising. And if they're a good physical trainer, you're not going to like what they're telling you to do. Do it five more times. Hey, I was done on number two, right? Later on, you'll go, man, I'm glad you didn't let up. And that's just physical training, which is of some value. But then we have a God who gives us godliness. So he's going to say, love your enemies. What? Did you see what they did to me? Isn't that how we do it? Come on, God. And then we react, ignoring him. Instead of, got it. The feeling may go, oh, I got to forgive him. The action will be, hey, come on, I'm going to love you. Y'all catch that? And as I'm loving them, God's like, I'll take care of it from there. Trust me. And that's what he's showing us. But if you continue to keep living in your excuse and whatever, no relationship, are you really a Christian? And also, doing righteous things. We don't do righteous things to be children of God, but the children of God are recognized by doing righteous things. Now remember, he has to define what is right. I know a lot of people that do stuff that they call right that have nothing to do with righteous. You understand that? That's why it says seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, because a lot of stuff that we today call right is really not right. Okay. And it says in 1 John 3, 7 through 10, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does, everybody say does. And the reason why I'm stressing you say does is because it is a work, but it's not a work that gains rewards. It is a work that's a result of. I'll say that again. I don't do it, once again, to get to God. I do it if I have a relationship with God. It will be the evidence that I have it. So the way I know I'm truly a Christian, I'll do what's right. Now, you'll get people that'll go out and they'll join these groups to do good deeds, to help the homeless, to help, all that's great. But you got worldly people do the same thing. And you may go, but I'm here with this group of people. And I heard a Christian say this once. And I went there. And in fact, I seen more non-Christians there than I seen Christians. And we're all doing what's right, right? I was like, so do you know what right is? And that's where the confusion came in. You gave me your interpretation of right. I said, that's a nice thing you're doing, but is it right? Now, in no way am I turning anybody away from that. By all means, you need to do that, but know how to do that. And you're doing it based on him because he is right. And that's what he's showing us. This is just as he is right. He says, he who does what is right is righteous just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Once again, there's an either or. There is no middle ground because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue, here we go with that again, in sin, to sin. Once again, that continue to means living in. Doesn't mean you won't fall here and there. It's because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. Oh, did y'all notice that? He cannot. If I'm truly in him, truly in him means I'm living completely for him. That means I can't do it because I'm just doing what he says. Now, I'm not completely in him. I'm doing some of what he says. And the rest of my life, I'm trying to go by myself, which in turn, I'm really not living with him or in him. Think about that. Okay? He goes on, cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know. Here's that again. This is how we know who the children of God are. So not only is that for me, this is for me to know you. This is for you to know me. This is how we know who children of God are and who the children of the devil are. It's a complete separation and it's only two groups. Did y'all notice that? Only two groups. You're either a child of God or a child of devil, either or. There is no purgatory group. Man made that up because man was like, I met some good people who are not Christian. Where did you get your definition of good? Where did you get your definition of righteous? What is that based on? It says, anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. He combines both those together. Did y'all catch that? So if I'm not living doing what is right, some of you may go, okay, then what is right? Exactly. Your word will tell you what is right, how to do it, when to do it. Once again, the basic thing, we are to give to the homeless. We're going to go over that. But then the Bible says, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So now it gives a Christian another level. And what it doesn't mean is, well, I got to force him to work. No, we go a little extra further. We will be a little more inconvenienced than what we do. We would help people. Well, it's a shame because most of these, some of these groups just give. You know that term when they say, instead of giving a man a fish, teach him how to fish, or whatever that, however that goes. That's kind of based on, even though that statement is not, it has more Christian basis to it. Help me to do it instead of just giving it to me. I don't want to be dependent on you. Help me to have it. What are you doing to help them? What are you providing? Yeah, it's more time. Yeah, it's more inconvenient. That's based on righteousness. We go on feeling good. I went and gave them some food. Oh, they're hungry again? I'm going to give them some more food. I'm going to keep giving food. Then when I don't have food, they look at me like, what's going on? You're supposed to feed me. Because we did it based on our version of right. So we must know what is truly right. So breaking this down, Matthew 25. Really shows us a thing that he kind of clearly says is going to happen at the end times. And we got to recognize which group we are in. So we're going to read this whole thing. And this kind of really shows us a relationship and how relationship works in our actions. But you got to make sure you do these in the right way. He says the relationship we have with those who are in need reflects our relationship we have with Christ. It says in Matthew 25:34-40, When the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Now, this kingdom, of course, is talking about being in heaven, okay? Not just the reward you get with it. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Now, stop there for a minute, just to give everybody an understanding. All of this still is built off of sound doctrine and righteousness. If some just read this, they'll try to just foolishly go out and do it based on them. And I say foolishly because wisdom, what the Bible teaches us, there's a way of doing each and every one of these things in the Lord. Just like I was saying, the hungry, the Bible, using sound doctrine, lets me know how to feed them and help them to be fed. For those who are thirsty, how to give them what really needs to be drink, how to spend quality time with people and to encourage them. But all of this you'll take. So just make sure you understand. Don't just take it just face value and run and say, I'm going to go and just get this one person who's in prison and do this and I feel good about myself. Understand, you'll know it based on his word. He says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Y'all catch that? So a big part of our relationship is what we do for others in him is going to be for him. Keep that in mind. But then he shows us the exact opposite. The relationship we lack with those who are in need reflect our relationship we lack with Christ. Matthew 25:41-46. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed. That means they're still under the curse. He says, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Y'all do know hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. But unfortunately, man chose. When they chose to stay cursed. It's a whole nother story. We can talk about that later. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick in prison and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. This will include our finances and our time. How am I using my finances and my time? Am I looking out for others or am I one of those going, hey, I worked hard for mine, you got to get yours? Am I truly trying to make a way for others who who are struggling? Or am I giving a couple of dollars and feeling good about myself? Remember, it's going to come down to purpose. How and what are you doing? What exactly are you applying this? And as we grow in Christ, you'll be more focused on others and less on you. Our biggest problem in politics is we usually look for what I'm going to get out of this, not how are others going to be helped. It blew my mind because the hardest thing about this whole mask thing was me, not others. Did y'all catch that? I am uncomfortable even though you may get sick. But it's all about me. Simply put, he says in verse 46, they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. He's going to show, once again, this is evidence, and it's going to be based on God and an understanding that we have a responsibility, especially for those in need. And those in need aren't just the hungry. This was a time, especially 2020, people lost their job, when immediately, what can we do to help? Part of our grocery list, part of our time. You have a lot of the sick and shut in. You reach out and just talk to them. We have Zoom. You have ways of doing this that you can do it. It may not feel the greatest, but you're making the effort to love. Do y'all see this? Taking the time. Endurance in Christ is equal to knowing Christ. A person can't have half their life with Christ and say they're a Christian. Hebrews 3 verse 14 says, we have come to share in Christ if, there's this if, we hold firmly till the end. The confidence we had at first. What he's saying to you is you can't say I'm a Christian, backslid, and say I'm going to heaven. Doesn't work that way. Y'all get this? This will be a lifestyle till you die. This is why it's so important for us to make sure we preach and encourage in Christ, not in our interpreted version of Christ. See, when we preach in an interpreted version of Christ, what happens is disappointment happens in life, and then people leave church, they leave God, and they're frustrated. How many people do you know that are mad at God? Mad at God. You remember back in 1 Samuel when it carried the Ark in and they had it on a cart and it fell and Uzzah reached up to stop it and he died and David was mad at God. Until later, we got to see in Chronicles, he realized, you know what, we did it wrong. That was our fault. And he went out of his way to do it right. How dare I be mad at God when he gave me the answer? And we do the same thing. Some of us are frustrated and angry at God when he was like, I told you about this. I didn't tell you to get in that relationship. I didn't tell you to do that activity. I didn't tell you to do this with your money. I didn't tell you to do, you did that on your own. Why are you mad at me? Do y'all get this? We got to stay in him. Sometimes we are in more danger of pushing people away from God from giving them comfort in an interpreted God instead of giving comfort in God. When somebody's going through a storm, it's better for us to tell them at times, yep, count it pure joy. Praise God that you're going through it. I have no idea when it's going to end, but man, lean upon him. Instead of, we're going to keep praying that he gets you out of this. We're going to keep praying for a breakthrough. What do? We keep praying, and then people are like, I'm disappointed. It's been 2 years. It's been this long. I can't take it. I'm leaving. Right? Because we comforted them not in Christ. We comforted them in flesh. Finally, living in complete trust of Christ is another strong evidence of Christ. So I told you this one, and I'm ending on this, just to let you know, because I used to struggle with this as a young Christian. When he says in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. I used to go, that didn't help. I'm going through this hard time. You just tell me, trust you. Exactly. His word will give us everything that we can do. Then after that, trust him. Let him work, is what he's saying. You may not see it, but don't. And that's why he says don't let. And I stress this to you before. A lot of people, when you hear your heart be troubled, we think it's that feeling you get here, right? That heart wrenching. No, that's just emotion and that's desire. That's not what he's talking about. Your heart is your purpose. It's your driving force. It's your reason. It's your why in life. Every Christian should have the same heart, and that's for God. He's like, don't let that relationship be troubled. trust me. He said, I'm going to bring you through some storms. Trust me. It's not going to look like that person over there. Trust me. Sometimes you're going to look at it and you're not going to be able to put two and two together exactly what I'm doing to you. Trust me. I don't think anybody in here could tell me, because it's not really written in the word, why did he leave Joseph in jail extra long? But Joseph, trust me. Why did he do all that he did to Job? I mean, doing just half of that, I think he would have still gave us the same message. No. And Job still trusted. This message goes for me, as well as each and every one of you. You're going to do some things. Certain things are going to happen. Certain losses are going to happen. Certain gains are going to happen. When you live in trust in him, it doesn't change what you do. You keep doing what he says. So those who really have a relationship will live in trust in him, not in adjustment to our situation. Let us live in complete trust. I encourage y'all to go through that list that we just did to make sure you see the evidence and what you need to set up. And God willing, as we come back next week, we're going to get a chance to see what do we have to do to have this relationship with Christ. We're going to get some step-by-steps and really get an understanding. Okay, this is what you do to have this relationship. So review it, talk to your groups about it, pray about it, understand what he's saying. And we'll talk about it some more, God willing, next week. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, once again, thank you so much for this relationship that you offer to each and every one of us. Dear Lord, we just want to walk in your ways, doing what you would have us to do. Help us to keep seeking you at all times. We ask for continual guidance and comfort for those who are struggling in life. Help us to guide them in the right direction so they find true comfort in you and not continually be misled by false comfort that the world offers. False peace that the world offers, dear Lord, false love that the world offers. Help us to seek truth, dear Lord. Help us to eliminate those things in our lives that we keep allowing to pull us in the wrong direction, but to walk in the ways that you provided for us. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless those who have lost loved ones, those who are struggling in any type of sickness, especially what's going on with COVID. But we're also talking about cancer, diabetes, whatever else is out there that's affecting people, dear Lord. Help them to grow in it, to be strengthened, to be healed from it, dear Lord. Whatever they're going through, but whatever it is, help them to find that peace and that comfort in you. Help us do it as a body, to grow more, depending on one another for our relationship, for that encouragement, and for that unity and love. We love you so much, dear Lord, and we just want to live for you. We want our lives to be that image of you, so when others see us, so help us to leave out of here being a blessing to everyone we come in contact while we are being blessed. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen. Thank you all.